Jesus.
Praise God. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16, if you have your Bibles.
Yes, Jesus.
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Yes.
Father, we love you and thank you tonight for this privilege to represent Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord, to preach your word with power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that you bless this congregation, you'd edify the body of Christ, the word of God would find fertile ground in our hearts, bring forth fruit unto everlasting life. Lord, we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. Pray you'd bless around these altars tonight. May souls walk away from here with the blessing of God upon their life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach tonight for a few minutes on the church triumphant. In my text, Jesus revealed to his disciples and to Peter in particular his plans for his church to be an institution with authority and power.
Right.
And the church would be a force, he said, that hell couldn't handle.
Come on.
The church, as it was designed by Jesus and empowered by Jesus, would engage the forces of hell with confidence in the outcome.
Yes.
And the church was not designed to retreat.
Come on.
Y'all get this?
Amen.
I said the church wasn't designed to retreat. The church was designed to advance. This is the story of the early church as we see it in the book of Acts. In the space of 30 years, the church marched from Jerusalem to Rome, a distance of 2,500 miles, without airplanes or trains or cars. In 30 years, the church marched from Jerusalem to Rome. And every step of the way was contested by hell. But the church kept the pressure on the kingdom of darkness and spread the kingdom of God in spite of hell's efforts to stop it. Jesus revealed the blueprint for his church in the context of Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi. This was a very critical moment in the training of the disciples. Jesus had instructed his disciples in the truth. He had healed multitudes of sick people. He had raised the dead. He had fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had fed 4,000 men, plus women and children, with 7 loaves and a few fishes. And the question that Jesus put to his disciples would test the insight the disciples had gained over the course of the ministry of Christ. Jesus asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say you are Elias or Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus probed their understanding, and he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered for the disciple band and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's confession combined the idea of messiahship with deity. The word Christ is the Greek form of Messiah, and it meant the anointed one. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of a coming king, prophet, and priest. And all of that was combined in Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." In the synagogue at Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, Jesus read that scripture from Isaiah and declared that it was fulfilled in himself.
Yes. Amen.
And so Jesus was that anointed one.
Uh-huh.
He was the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one.
Yes.
You understand that Christ is not part of his name. It's the title that he has as the anointed one of God.
Yes.
And in this confession by Peter, Peter also referenced the deity of Christ. He said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." Peter's statement identified the office of Jesus. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed king, prophet, and priest. But he also identified the nature of Jesus. He is the Son of God.
Amen.
He's God's Son.
Yes.
He's deity out of deity. This is the nature of Jesus, the Son of God. The response of Jesus to Peter's confession made two things clear. One, if you recognize the truth of who Jesus is, you are blessed.
Amen.
He said about Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." If a man ever comprehends the majesty of Jesus Christ, that person is blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And secondly, there is a divine revelation that leads to a true confession. Jesus told Peter, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven."
Amen.
You know, Paul said something similar to that in 1 Peter chapter 12 and verse 3. He said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
This has to be a revelation to a man's heart, that he understands who Jesus is because the Holy Ghost reveals it to him. Brother, I believe there's a pattern here that's very significant. The confession about Jesus that's necessary for salvation is dependent upon an illuminating work by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God is the one that opens our understanding to comprehend the majesty and the mercy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, and we wouldn't do any damage to the scripture to say this, that if thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
I just read to you now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3 that no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
This has got to be a revelation of the Holy Ghost to a man's heart that will cause him to confess Jesus as Lord. This has got to come from a man's heart, not just his mind.
Amen.
And when it comes from a man's heart, it indicates that he has submitted himself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He confesses Jesus as his Lord. It's this confession made from the heart that results in repentance of sin and secures the believer a membership in the church of Jesus Christ.
All right.
Jesus declared in my text, "Upon this rock I'll build my church."
Yes.
Jesus is the foundation upon which the church is built.
Yeah.
Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, in order to be part of the church, you must be related to Christ, and you must be resting upon the foundation stone, and that stone is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's critical that we understand the concept of the church. The church does not consist of brick and mortar.
That's right.
It isn't a physical building.
Right.
We call this a church, but really this is just the place where the church meets.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
All right. Yeah.
The church is a spiritual building.
Yeah.
It is a spiritual house,
right,
composed of those people who are committed to Christ and to the people who belong to Christ.
Yes.
The church is a community of people united by their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, united because of their love for Jesus and for each other. The Bible tells us that we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Yeah.
The only way, listen, you may have a false confidence if you don't love the brethren, those people that belong to Jesus.
Come on.
And when you love the people that belong to Jesus, you will assemble with the people that belong to Jesus. The church is a called out assembly. It's a community of people that are united by their faith in Jesus Christ, their love for one another as the people of God. They have been granted this divine insight into the true nature of Jesus. And they have seen the effectiveness of his death, burial, and resurrection, and claimed that benefit for themselves. They have believed and they've acted upon that revelation, and they are now bound to Christ as their life and to each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
It's important to note that membership in the Church of Jesus Christ is not possible for those who want Christ but reject the company and fellowship of his followers.
Right. All right.
Come on.
One man said something like this: no man can have God as his father who will not have the church as his mother.
Right.
And Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now understand this. When a person responds to the call of Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, they are placed in the church, the body of Christ, by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We're baptized by the Spirit into one body. This is not water baptism. It's rather a spiritual baptism that initiates us into the church of Jesus Christ.
All right.
This is how Jesus is building his church. He's assimilating believers into his body by the work of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Now, we know that water baptism is an outward testimony to what we have experienced by the Spirit of God. It's the public witness to our commitment to Christ and to his people.
Yes.
The early Christians were baptized in water in or into the name of Jesus. The Greek phrase "in the name of Jesus" means literally "into the name of Jesus." And F.F. Bruce, who was a prominent Bible scholar, he says that the Greek words translated "into the name of Jesus" or "into the name" rather, was used in a commercial context where a piece of property was transferred into the name of a new owner. So, he continued, the person baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus bears public witness that he has become the property of Jesus and that Jesus is his Lord and his owner.
All right.
Praise God.
All right.
Amen. So we're not talking about being baptized in the name of Jesus only. We're talking about being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ.
All right.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But we are acknowledging by that baptism that we are in the church of Jesus. We've been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. We belong to Jesus. He's our owner now. And we are committed to his body. That is what baptism in water means. So, baptism in water is just a type of what we've experienced spiritually through the work of the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus indicates in my text that his church will overwhelm the opposition of hell.
All right.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
You know, I believe hell fears a church that's operating as God intended for it to operate.
Yeah.
Satan would like to do away with the church. He's tried through the centuries to do away with the church of Jesus. The Romans early in the early church, they tried to destroy it and they couldn't destroy it. And the Jewish authorities, they tried to outlaw it and they couldn't destroy it. And hell has tried over and over to overthrow it. And it's still here, praise God. Right here in this town. Right here in this church. It still exists, praise God. Because the devil could not stop it or overthrow it. But since hell can't do away with the church, hell seeks to rob it of its power and of its effectiveness. And the devil knows that if he can destroy the purity of the church, he can destroy the power of the church. It is critical that we be pure and holy before God. That we have clean hands and a pure heart. Because if the devil can destroy our purity, he will destroy our power. I'm telling you, brother, temptation is on every hand in this world system that we live in. You hold more temptation in your hands with that smartphone than most generations ever knew about.
Come on.
And it takes the grace of God for you to overcome the temptations that are out there in this world system now. But I'm promising you, brother, that the grace of God is sufficient for us. And no matter what time period we live in, you can be an overcomer.
All right.
In the book of Revelation, the promises are given to those that overcome. The promise is not given to those that are overcome. The promises are given to those that overcome. So God has planned for his church to be an overcoming people, to be a pure, sanctified people. This is God's plan for his church. If the devil can pollute the church, he can rob the church of its power. Maybe I should talk about this a minute. You know, in the Old Testament, when Balak, the king of Moab, was concerned about Israel, and he sent for Balaam to come and curse them, and eventually got Balaam to come and to curse the people of God, and Balaam could not curse them. He only wound up blessing them. But Balaam knew. He said, there's a shout of a king among them. He could not curse them. Now, just prior to this time, these people had complained and murmured against God. God sent poison snakes among them. They're dying by the bite of these poison snakes. And God told Moses, I want you to raise up this brazen serpent in the midst of the camp. And anybody bitten by those poison snakes, if they will just look toward that brazen snake, they will be cured of the poison of that snake. That brazen snake was a type and symbol of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, how in the world could a snake be a symbol of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you how. Because on that cross, Jesus was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. Praise God. And so Israel received a redemptive act. And when Balaam came to curse them, he couldn't, because God had cured them by the brazen serpent. But Balaam also understood, if I can corrupt them, I can curse them.
Amen.
And so he worked to mingle them with the heathen nations around them by causing them to marry into these heathen nations. And they began to worship the idol gods of those heathen nations. And the curse of God fell upon them. I'm telling you, brother, if the devil can pollute the people of God, he can destroy the power of the people of God. And not only that, but Satan also seeks to silence the witness of the people of God. If he can get us to speak and not speak the name of Jesus, you know, just confine our religion to the four walls of the church. And I'm telling you, brother, it don't make sense for us to come into the house of God and pretend like we love Jesus and we adore Jesus and we're so thankful for Jesus and walk outside these doors and say nothing about Jesus. I'm telling you, brother, if you're going to be a worshiper of Jesus, you must also be a witness for Jesus.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
It don't make sense to say I'm a worshiper of Jesus, but I ain't going to be a witness for Jesus. We're to testify for him outside these walls. Satan would like to silence the witness of the church of Jesus, make us just satisfied with what goes on inside these four walls. But there's a world out there. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be healed. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The communists understand the power of the witness of the church. They outlaw evangelism. You cannot witness for Jesus in a communist country without suffering the consequences. In the country of China, in 1949, when the communists took over China, there may have been perhaps 1 million Christians in China. Under persecution, that church has grown. In 60 years or so, 70 years, that church has grown, and some have estimated as high as 80 to 100 million Christians, evangelical Christians in China. They grew in spite of persecution. They grew because of persecution. They grew in spite of the fact that they were forbidden to witness about Jesus. But they would not be quiet about Jesus, and they kept on witnessing for Christ, and that church has grown exponentially in China under persecution. Brother, in Russia and China under communism, it was a crime to teach your children about Jesus. And children were ripped away from their parents and put in state homes if they tried to teach them about Jesus. I want you to know the devil would like to silence you outside of these walls. And already in this country there is a spirit of hostility toward the name of Jesus. You can talk about God, you can talk about Allah, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about anything you want to except Jesus. Amen. You mention the name of Jesus and hell rages. Praise God. But we're not going to be silent about Jesus. And we're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Satan would like to sow division among God's people.
Amen.
He halts the progress of the church when there's division among God's people. This is what was happening in Corinth. That's the reason Paul wrote to Corinth, to try to heal the divisions in that church, correct the things that were going wrong there. Because division within the body of Christ always halts the progress of the church. And I'll tell you something, brother. When there is strife within the church, the people that shouldn't know about it are some of the first ones to know about it outside the church. And we don't want that to happen to us here in this place. And we want to be a people that are unified around Jesus and the cause of Christ. And it ought to mean more to us. Amen. That Jesus' name be honored than that we be, you know, right. In a dispute. Praise God. Sometimes we just take it and go on. Praise God. I want you to know that in the church you're going to have somebody to hurt your feelings. If you stay long enough, somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. I'm going to make this pitch for this church and maybe yours too. But anyway, if a person goes to a church, they ought to go there because God sent them there.
Amen.
I've had people come to my church from other churches. I say, look, If God sent you here, I want you here. If God didn't send you here, I don't want you here. I want you to be in the will of God. If you're not in the will of God here, you're going to cause us trouble. We're going to cause you trouble. We want you to be in the will of God. But if God sent you here, you don't walk away from here just because somebody hurt your feelings. You don't walk away from here just because things are not going like you want them to go. You don't walk away from where God sent you unless God said for you to go.
All right.
And if you do, you're in trouble. So the devil tries to sow division. And he, you know, if the devil can turn us on one another, instead of turning our attention to a lost and dying world. Churches die when they lose the vision of a harvest field. They die because they turn on one another. Instead of fighting the devil, they fight one another. And the devil stops us right in our tracks from doing anything for God and the kingdom of God.
Bless him, Lord.
When we're fighting one another.
All right.
And you know, right now, in this congregation, Satan recruits members for himself. So there are people, you know them, and no doubt many of you know them, who once were on fire for God, who once were powerful foes of hell, and now then they're working with hell. They've changed sides. They walked away from the house of God. They changed their loyalty. Instead of working against hell, they're working for hell now.
Come on, man.
You understand, brother and sister, you cannot go through life without affecting somebody else. You're either going to help somebody go to heaven or you're going to help somebody go to hell. Your life is going to affect somebody else.
Come on.
And hell is always recruiting from inside the church to try to turn people from working for God. To start working for him.
Amen, bro.
Y'all, I heard a debate sometime back at the Oxford Union in Britain on the, whether there's a God, whether there's a God or not. Does God really exist? I was shocked when a man stood up and said, "I used to be an evangelical pastor. I was on fire for God. I was the kind of person you didn't want to sit beside on the bus or on the train or on the plane because I was going to talk to you about Jesus. I was on fire for God." But somewhere along the line, he became convinced there was no God. And he was representing that philosophy in the Oxford Union that there is no God. This man that was once a proponent of Christ was now a denial of the fact that there is a God.
Come on.
Satan recruited him from the ranks of God's people.
Come on now.
Don't you ever forget that Satan's recruiting in the house of God.
Yes. Amen.
And you know what he'd like to do to everybody here is put out the fire in your heart and in your soul. He'd like for you to be a lukewarm Christian, you know. Jesus said about Laodicea, he said, "You're not hot and you're not cold, you're lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." God hates lukewarmness. Are you hearing me? God hates lukewarmness. He don't want you to be the kind of a Christian that people around you don't know which side you're on.
Come on now.
Hey, I tell you what, anybody that knows you ought to know which side you're on.
Amen.
They tell me about a Civil War battle. Am I in the North?
Good.
Am I in the North? Is this the North? This is Yankee territory.
Come on, brother.
I'm from Georgia. I'm down south, you know. But this was a Civil War going on. I hope it's over here, but down south in a lot of places ain't over yet. But amen. But anyway, there's a battle going on in the Civil War. And there was this farmhouse in the middle of the battle. And this old lady come out of the house with a broom in her hand. And somebody said, "Woman, you better get back in that house. There's a battle raging on here." She said, "We said, what are you doing?" She said, "I just want them to know which side I'm on." Praise God. Amen. I tell you what, this is what God wants out of every one of us. Amen. Not a lukewarm life. He wants us to be on fire for God so that everybody that knows us knows which side we're on. Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan would like to put the fire out in your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Keep you away from your prayer place. Keep you away from the Word of God. Get you so busy you don't have time to go to church.
Come on.
Give you a job that keeps you out of the house of God. Somehow he's going to try to put the fire out in your heart and in your soul. You know, I read Pilgrim's Progress when I was in high school, written by John Bunyan. Some of y'all probably know about Pilgrim's Progress. I think it's probably the second most read book after the Bible in the world.
Yeah.
And in this book, Christian, who's making his way to the celestial city, is given a lesson by a man named Interpreter.
Yeah.
And he takes Christian into this room where there's a fire blazing in the fireplace. And there's a man with a bucket pouring water on this fire, trying to put it out. And it just keeps blazing up and blazing up.
Yeah.
And he's trying to put it out, pouring water on the fire. It just keeps blazing up. And the Interpreter says, "All right, follow me." He leads him around to the back side of that fireplace. And on the backside of that fireplace, there's a man with a bucket of oil. And he's a pouring oil on the fire.
Yeah.
And the man that's a pouring water on there can't put it out because there's a man behind the scenes a pouring oil. If you're staying on your knees,
yes,
and you're seeking the face of God, and God's a pouring oil on the fire, the devil can't put out the fire, and God's a pouring oil on the fire. Praise God. I tell you what, brother, I don't want to get old and cold, and I want to stay in the presence of Jesus and let Jesus keep pouring the oil on the fire, brother, as long as I live. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
The church has the backing of heaven.
Yes, it does.
I'm telling you, brother, we're not a decrepit, weak, frail group of people.
No, we're not.
Come on.
We have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Given to us by God.
Yes, amen.
You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me. The devil can't stop you. Praise God. The church is a powerful force in this world. Satan cannot stop us. We're invested with divine authority to represent heaven on earth. We have been given keys. Jesus said, "I'm giving you the keys."
Amen.
He said it to Peter, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now there's another place that this same thing is said, and it's another context. But in this context, and I don't know that I've got it right, but when we're talking about binding and loosing in this context, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was binding devils and loosing souls. Praise God.
Right.
And I believe that God has given to us this mission, redemptive mission, to bind Satan and loose souls. Praise God. This is our redemptive mission. We are warring against hell. The Bible tells us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we're not at the disadvantage. God has given us the weapons, the armor, the Christian's armor, and the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to understand something, brother and sister. We're not at the disadvantage. Hell is at the disadvantage. Satan is a disadvantage. You have the weapons of the Word of God and the weapon of prayer and the weapon of the Spirit of God. And Satan is at the disadvantage. And we are not defeated. We're not victims. We are victors in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you what, brother. The devil's given some of you enough trouble. It's time you give him some trouble. Yes, sir. There's plenty of churches that the devil's given plenty of trouble, but it's time for them to give him some trouble.
All right.
I tell you, when the devil comes around my place and he's done some damage, but I don't back up when he does.
Come on.
And I don't drop my head and get discouraged.
All right.
I tell my wife, we're going forward. We're going to give the devil some trouble. He's given us trouble. We're going to give him some trouble now. Yeah. We're not backing up and backing down. We're going to give him some trouble.
Come on, man.
I tell you what, this little church right here, there's just 120 people in that upper room. Every one of them came out of that upper room full of the Holy Ghost. They turned the world upside down. In 30 years, they marched from Jerusalem to Rome. And brother, conquering all the way, that every step of the way was contested by hell, but hell couldn't stop them.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, glory to God.
All right.
I'm telling you right here in this place and in Good Shepherd Holiness Church, and there's enough power here to scatter devil tonight. Amen. There's enough power here. We can conquer ourselves. Hallelujah. We can be victorious over Satan in hell.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I don't believe God's through with Jason Painter.
No.
I don't believe God's through with Good Shepherd Holiness Church.
Right.
All right.
I don't believe the last victory's been won.
No. Amen.
Hey, glory to God.
Come on.
I don't believe the last soul's been saved.
No.
Come on.
I don't believe the last soul's been filled with the Holy Ghost.
No.
Hey, we're still in the battle, aren't we?
Yes.
We're still fighting.
Right.
We're still making progress.
Yes.
We're still pressing the battle. Yes. We're still letting hell know we're alive. Amen. And we are still going after souls. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Sister Jenny, I want you to come.
Oh, sweet
God. I preached probably too long.
Glory to God. Bless him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord. Have your way. Glory to God.
When I was young, you know, playing at PE and on the playground at school, and I never played ball in formal fashion, you know, with teams and so forth, but I was pretty good at sports when I was young and in school, you know. My dad never would let me play on a team. I'm glad he didn't now.
Yeah.
But you know, I was always the type, I didn't just play to play. I played to win. I mean, if you lost, you just lost. I was playing to win. But when I got saved, brother, I switched losing side to the winning side.
Praise God. That's right.
I really don't care to go back to the losing side. I'm glad to be on the winning side. Praise God. I've been read the last of the book.
Yes.
I know I'm on the winning side.
Yes.
When you're following Jesus, you can't lose, y'all. You hear me?
Amen.
I said, when you're following Jesus, you can't lose. And you're on the winning side.
Yes.
I'm glad I crossed over, praise God, to the winning side.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you're saved tonight, you're on the winning side.
Amen.
If you're lost, it's time to cross over to the winning side. It's time, brother, to say goodbye to a world that's about to burn. It's time to get on the winning side. Jesus is about to come back. It's time to get right with God.
Blessed be the Lamb of God.
Anybody that's got any spiritual discernment at all can look around, see what's going on in the world, and see that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes.
Yeah.
There were many hundreds of years that went by that not much was happening.
Right.
But in my lifetime, God has put his foot on the pedal.
Yeah.
And he has speeded this thing up.
I believe. Yeah.
Toward the conclusion of all things.
Come on now.
If you're not right with God,
come on,
get off of the losing side.
Yeah.
Come on over to the winning side.
Amen.
Jesus said, from this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
it.
Amen. I want us to stand together tonight. Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I wouldn't wait another day. Jesus can come tonight. Before we dismiss this service, I wouldn't wait another day to get right with God. If you've got something in your heart, you've got bitterness and unforgiveness.
Oh God.
You got a spirit of worldliness. If I were you, I'd get in this altar tonight and say, God, purge me of anything in me that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Purge me of any attitude, of any action, of any deed, of anything that's contrary to the will of God. That's what I'd do.
Yes.
Knowing what I know,
yes.
This is what I'd do. I'd come to this altar and I'd say, God, I'm through with anything that I know is contrary to your will that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. I'm through with it. I believe God will help you tonight. I believe God will deliver you. I believe he'll wash you in the blood of Jesus and cleanse you from everything in your heart and your life that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. If I weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, I think I'd be in this altar tonight saying, Lord, I'm a candidate right now.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. I want to be full of the Spirit. I don't want to be a foolish virgin without oil at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be a wise virgin. With oil in my vessel. And if you don't have a fire, it's probably because you don't have oil. Because you've got to have oil to have a fire. And a fire will make some light. So if you don't have oil, it's time to get it tonight. Don't wait too late like those foolish virgins. Don't wait too late. Get some oil in your vessel tonight. Let the fire burn. Life for Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's sing.
Let the church
be the church.
Let the people rejoice. Send on a
question.
Church,
let the people Let's go.